Season 2, Episode 14.
Wow, I'm already feeling the pressure.
No, chill.
Well, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Why do you feel pressure? Because that's, I mean, it's the most safe space you could ever find yourself in.
Absolutely.
I'm a friendly person, so I won't judge.
And also, the listeners,
in front of you.
The listeners won't be able to see anything. You can brag about the fine artwork that you're producing.
But they'll know from the level of laughter from you two when you wear some light.
Okay, but wait a second. What do I do with this cable in a good way?
Hang on.
There are some clips on.
You didn't have to.
How long is this cable? Can I just unravel it and put it behind me?
That could probably work.
Yeah. I said we do have small clips.
No, this is perfect. I just don't want it to hang.
Hello, I'm James Royal Lawson.
And I'm Pat Axbom.
This is UX Podcast. We're in Stockholm, Sweden, and you are listening to us from all over the world, including Bermuda and Australia.
Eva Lotta Lam is a sought-after expert and teacher in the area of sketching, sketchnoting, and visual thinking. She is regularly speaking at international design conferences and has been teaching sketching workshops for companies and teams for many years.
Now, we had the privilege to spend a bit of time with Eva Lotta ahead of recording this, and we witnessed her performing on stage at a conference where she bundled together speaking, of course, along with teaching and visualizing. It was quite a masterclass to watch her, you know, command all those aspects of her work on stage in front of 500-600 people.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, talk about having a big class and just feeling so comfortable at teaching it and everybody just learning something and having so many takeaways from just watching a person on stage.
And I think that is actually an important point, feeling comfortable. Eva Lotta really does make you feel comfortable while she's doing her work, and she's very good at it. So we had an alternative idea for this episode. It's not an interview in the classic sense. It is, I'm actually not really completely sure how we describe this. I think it's a live audio described workshop.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? She was just teaching us how to draw, and we were trying to make it into a podcast by describing the stuff we were doing.
And the thing is, we initially thought maybe she was teaching us how to draw, but there was so much more to this.
Yeah.
So here's some tips. Get some pens. We'll explain a bit about pens in the episode. Either sit down and try and follow along with us and sketch with us. Or even better, if you can, get a couple of colleagues or people you know to listen together with while we're going through our exercises, so you can try them too. And stick with it to the end. It ends up being really very relevant to our work as designers.
Is it still working? Am I still on? Okay.
Is this thing on?
Good.
Okay, so we're sitting at a desk with Eva Lotta Lam with white paper and some pens that she has handed us.
Yeah.
And now things are supposed to happen, and I'm expecting magic. I'm expecting to learn so much right now.
Well, we've got a blank piece of paper, and I've got three pens here.
A black pen.
A black pen,
which is always good. It's the basics, like just a simple felt tip pen. And we have the same pen in a nice apple green color, because color is always good to highlight things or to put annotations, because color naturally helps us to separate different levels of information from each other. It's super easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the magic shadow pen.
The magic shadow pen.
That makes the average sketches look amazing immediately. It's the Tombow ABT Dual Brush N75.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And to be honest, it actually does look a little bit like a magician's wand.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because it's got lids on either end. I think it's... No.
It has two tips. It has a thin tip that I basically rarely use, and then it has this wonderful, lush, soft brush tip that is great for doing the shadows.
Yeah, and that's got a grey lid, so it actually does look like a wand. So I'm going to make Per disappear.
We'll do some magic. We'll do some magic for beginners. All right. Maybe Let's just do a couple of exercises, and at the very end, I want to do an experiment with you that I never did with anybody else. But we'll ramp up.
That's so good. You're so good at this cliffhanger.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Okay, good. So we'll start with an exercise that is actually not from me, but that is amazing. Probably lots of people know it. I learned it from Dave Gray, who's an excellent visual thinker, and you should all Google him and see his work. I learned a lot from him as well.
I think actually we attended the same workshop back, was it 2012, here in Portugal, when he was...
Was it Dave's workshop? Yeah. I went to Dave's workshop once, but I can't remember where. Was it here?
I've been here. If you were here in 2012 when we were, then that was the same workshop.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, and he learned it from somebody else, and I forgot the name of this person. So, but this exercise is called Squiggle Birds.
Squiggle Birds.
And basically what we do is we just take a pen. We could take the black one and just do kind of four random squiggles on our page, like squiggle, 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 and squiggle. And just, you can do any kind of shape for your squiggle. Just four.
Okay.
It's enough. Yeah. Some space around. Okay. Good. Done. Perfect. Okay. Look at your beautiful squiggles. If you could see these squiggles, you'd be jealous right now.
So, yeah, I've done mine in quadrants, and Pez is not taking up the full page. But
we won't do the psychological analysis of your drawings right now. That's for another podcast. Yeah. So we have the first part, the squiggle. Now we turn them into birds. Yeah. And birds have a few attributes. Birds have beaks, which basically looks like a V on the side. So that we'll just do the inventory now. We'll draw a V on the side and on the top just to see what – so we can add beaks.
And what you've changed pen now to the green one.
Yeah, to the just so that you can see it. You could use your black pen. You could use the green pen.
Okay. Yeah, because we got black squiggles.
She's doing it for clarity for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So the green now draws your attention to the additional bits. So dots for eyes. We can place dots, and then we can also do feet, which is basically a vertical line, and then two kind of a V shape to the front and one line to the back, you know, like a little tripod. It's like a foot, and then you can do two of these feet, like bird's feet, right? These are the things that we're going to add to our squiggles.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So just a greater than symbol, and then a couple of dots, and then kind of broken pluses.
Yeah, no, it's basically a short vertical line for the leg. And then we have the two lines that go to the front, which are the front toes, and one line that goes to the back, which is the back toe.
Right. Okay.
Good. So this is just the inventory. And now we're going to actually make birds of our squiggles. So we go to the first squiggle, and the first thing I like to add always is just a beak. So add the beak to your bird. You can basically add it anywhere. It just works. Add a beak.
Okay.
Okay. Now you can add an eye. Because you know where the eye should go in your bird. I mean, you can see it.
Yeah,
yeah, just one
and
eye.
Now you can add legs to your bird. Is he standing? Is he flying? My bird is going to fly like this.
Okay. Yeah. And we do two legs.
Yeah, you can also. Yeah. I mean, maybe one leg is hidden. I don't know. Just put a leg on your bird.
Actually, I think my one works with one leg.
Yeah, maybe it's a, what are they called, flamingos? It's a short-legged flamingo.
It's sleeping. Yeah, it's sleeping.
Yeah,
and it can run. Mine
you
is
have
running.
A running chicken. Yeah. Wonderful. If there's anything missing, of course, you can add anything, but this is a perfect...
I'm kind of blown away because the squiggle I drew was like the most random thing ever.
Yes.
Yeah,
and now it looks like a running bird.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful.
And of course, I've realized that my squiggle, it does include a wing... Yeah. Almost automatically.
Yeah, most squiggles include wings because we're very good at seeing what we want to see. We actually, our brain is great at making sense of stuff. So we can do some more birds. If you're really courageous, then think about where you would want to put the beak and then put it in exactly the wrong position and then try to figure out how to still make a bird out of it. So I'm making...
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've got like a more like a figure of eight squiggle.
Yeah, so, just put the beak somewhere super random where you would never put it.
And
then this is for the courageous people. And now see what your bird is doing. Your bird is doing yoga. It's
Rugged,
doing
yeah, because I put
something.
My beak on the bottom half of my figure of eight squiggle. And that's kind of...
Yeah, where's the eye? Where are the legs? What is the rest? I mean...
Yeah, mine is also... It's lying on its back now. And it
just fell over.
In the air.
Oh, do you know what? I think I've realized that mine's... I can see both its wings and it's flying.
Yeah. Well, you figure it out.
I wonder how. Where would I put its legs when just it's tight?
Oh. Try it out, and you'll see how it goes.
Well, I'll just stick a leg coming out the back here, and I think about. Well.
Yeah, and we'll just finish our four birds.
Yeah. Okay. There's now I've put two legs. Oh my word! That figure of eight, which I really didn't think could possibly turn out to be a bird, actually looks like a bird that's flying.
Yeah.
So I'll show you the fur like that.
It has a funky feather on the head.
Yeah. It's got a ruffled feather on its on one exactly. of its wings.
That is
yeah.
bizarre.
All right. Mm. So we can finish our birds, and if you want to, the fun thing that I like to do as well is. I either give each bird a title or I give them a speech bubble and think about what they would say. So, I don't know. I have a flying bird. It's just saying, wee, and just going pew, pew. this one is too late for school.
So, I'm doing my... Too late for school.
Oh, yeah, this bird is too late for school. Yeah. He's on his way.
Yeah. I've actually realized I've done one that's diving.
Oh yeah, this is the where's the fish? He needs a fish that he's going for.
He's pointing
he actually
down.
Needs some.
Now, Eva Lotta is now adding to my diving bird, and she's adding water at the bottom.
A
and a fish.
That
look,
we know yeah. where he's going.
Right, yeah. So that one's, he's definitely going down there for that fish. Speech bubble, you said to me, I should do now.
Yeah, the important thing about speech bubbles is first the speech and then the bubble, because ooh. No matter how big you make the bubble,
yep,
the speech
exactly.
will never fit.
Yeah, yep. That's what happened.
You already experienced it.
I already experienced it, yeah.
Yes, so first write the word, and yep. then... Draw an ellipsis around it, and then draw a little bent line that is pointing to the person or to the bird who's speaking.
Okay.
So just word ellipsis around it, and now point it to roughly to the mouth.
That.
Yes.
Okay. And I've done mine in black, which is the same color as the body of the bird.
Yeah.
But actually, I think it looks better in green like you've done. Eva Lotta.
The thing is about color, you know, it's like color draws attention, but also I often do my figures and the actual physical things that I draw in black. Mm. And then the meta things like movement lines or speech or annotations and things like that in color, because it is conceptually a different level. And then it doesn't interfere with the shapes of the actual physical world. So it's easier to see what you drew, and yeah. you can still have
easier
the additional information, and it doesn't compete that much visually. But I also have a breakdance bird. I don't know what he's doing, but it must be breakdance because it looks really weird. And maybe he also has this cap here. It's kind of a b-boy bird.
B-boy.
Yeah, like break. Like just, the b-boys yeah, yeah. are the breakdance crew.
Yeah.
Cool people. And so somehow I don't know what's happening. Breakdance. If in doubt and you don't know what it is, it might be breakdance.
do you ever add roller skates to your birds?
I would love to, and I'm gonna do that right now because this bird is late for school. And of course, if this bird had super cool roller skates, he wouldn't have the same problem because you're much faster. Here we go. Roller skates are basically just triangles at the end of the feet, and just you put two circles around it.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. So I see now. Yeah, you've drawn over the foot.
Yeah. The cool thing you can we will have to post these pictures
yeah,
so people can actually look at them. So the cool thing is when you did something wrong, you know, like the foot of the bird, and I want to now turn it into a sneaker or turn it into a roller skate, then I can just draw over it and fill it with the same color, and then you can't see that there are any lines that I'm hiding. But basically, like drawing a foot, you just put a triangle to it, and then you can put wheels on it, and you could also put some
laces.
Yeah. Some laces.
That was just a triangle stuck on the side of a vertical stick, yeah. and then three dashes to indicate laces, and a little loops above that, and then circles underneath.
Six.
That was very simple. And yeah, your bird does now have roller skates. And I'm mentioning roller skates because I know that Eva Lotta really is into her roller skating now.
Yes, and birds on roller skates are even better. Why not?
Because why would they fly?
Well, they can do both. You know, they can
landing.
They can like airplanes. They can
yes, exactly. This is important for landing.
All right. Let's just quickly write our name on our on our pieces of paper, so we can when we post this together with the podcast, you can all appreciate. Okay, these are our birds. I think the birds are all amazing. I love all of your birds.
What, that one's not saying anything, Pat.
It's not saying anything. I'm not really seeing what he's doing right now. Yeah.
Show me.
I see the challenge. So the challenge of of Per's fourth squiggle is that his squiggle has disconnected lines, so it's not a continuous line.
Well, yeah, but you, if you feel anything is missing, you know, you could also kind of go like, oh, okay, this is actually the, you know, this is, and this is the kind of the tail.
So Eva Lotta now is adding, you know, she's filling in the gaps between Per's
your birds, and then maybe it's, I want to do it, you know, here's the other wing.
Oh, that's beautiful. And now it's coming in for landing.
Yeah, and he's kind of, yeah, he's just, he's like one of these dodos that goes like dung, 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 you know, that is landing on his ass. Sorry. It's a bit, you know, he's a bit awkward, but he basically just bounced and landed on
in
his
10 office. Seconds, you made my squiggle into something.
But that was the feel. I mean, that was just the kind of like, just let it go, let it flow, and just just do something. Yeah. You know, don't let the gaps hold you back.
Right.
Just keep going.
And you can always add something and just try out what it's like. And if it doesn't work, then it's just a piece of paper that you did on a Thursday morning that you nobody will ever see.
Very
so
true.
All right, cool. That was exercise number one, which was it's a great warming up for any workshops because it's fun and a small one. So credits to Dave Gray's colleague friend whose name I forgot.
Passing through the generations.
Exactly. Yeah, we're all standing. We're drawing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, giant squiggle birds.
Exactly. So we can do another little improv game that we can do as a group. You can also do it just on your own, but with a group it's more fun, and it's building on the same thing. So what we're going to do, it has five steps. I will remember while we're doing it.
Okay.
So take your pen.
The normal black pen.
It doesn't matter. And draw a random shape onto your piece of paper. It shouldn't be too big or too small, like, you know, like maybe like your hand, you know, like I'll just draw a random shape, and it can be kind of any shape. It can be complex or it can be simple, just a random.
Closed.
Yeah, and this is not a squiggle this time.
It's an outline of something, and it can be completely random. It can be amorphous. It can be simple. It can be complicated.
It just can have curves and corners and so on.
Just
okay.
Something.
Yep.
Can be long, can be short. Okay. This is step number one, random shape.
Yeah.
Now we'll pass our paper to the right.
We are confronted
with something.
Yeah, so for everyone knows now, I've received Per's shape, Eva Lotta's got my shape, and Per has got Eva Lotta's shape.
So now we look at this and we make a thing out of it. We look at it and see what does it look like, and we add a few details inside of it to kind of make it a thing, you know, like you can also turn it around, you know, and see if it inspires you if you turn it around. And we'll see what it is. So
okay, so let me see here now and try and draw some things onto these shapes, and I'm doing some talking just to fill in the silence.
Yes.
Which of course is making me distracted, but never mind.
And it doesn't have to be, I mean, it doesn't have to, you know, be a perfect object. Just add a few things to it so that you could maybe see what this thing is. Yeah. So I see a person emerging, and this is not.
So yeah, so mine, I've gone for the classic of just adding arms and legs and a head.
So we have a person there, and then we have something with a helmet. I don't know.
I've done a really bad job.
Oh, yeah, it's a helmet. I'm so happy you saw that.
Yeah. So make something out of it, like an object or a person.
Yeah.
Good. Now, when we're done with that, did you define what that is? Is it good enough for you? Is it enough?
Yeah, it's enough.
Okay, it's enough. Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
So now we pass on our paper again.
So I'm glad I'm passing mine to Eva Lotta. She can correct how bad the nose is now on my person.
So, now you have to turn it the other way around. This is a water gun. Can you see that?
Ah, of course it is. Yeah. It's a water gun.
Yeah.
With a little bit of splash
are you sure
coming out.
You don't want to define yours a little bit more.
No, it's all right. you will. Okay. You'll deal with it. So
you deal with it, James.
I have to deal with it.
Yes. Oh, okay. So the next thing is, we want to add some context to it. So so we added detail to make this a thing, mm-hmm. and now we want to add. Do we want to add context first? Yeah. No. Oh no. Let's add some interaction. So interaction means we are probably adding a person that is interacting with the object in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Or an animal or something else. But we'll add some action, some interaction to it. Okay. And you have to figure out what this is.
Exactly. So Pers give me no clues.
Somebody using this object or interacting with this object or shouting at this object or wearing the object or whatever. So let's put some interaction.
I don't know. I mean, Pers looks a bit like a helmet, although it could even be maybe even a bird of some kind still. I'm going to have to really think quick now about what I can do with this. Okay.
Yeah. So we're drawing.
Since I'm seeing a water gun here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, can I add a person or can I just add a hand?
You can also, a hand, a part of a person is good as well. You just have to add some action or interaction. So something needs to happen.
I see.
Yeah. So you can also use.
So what I've done is I've done a small version of Per's ship.
Yes.
To make it look like a tiny bird.
There's a bird. Okay. Good.
A kind of that kind of wants to be fed by
its. How does it interact with it? Is it ignoring it?
No, I've done that. It's a little baby bird, and it's got its head pointing upwards, and it's reaching out for food.
Okay.
So I'm kind of implying that the big ship is actually its one of its parents that should be feeding it.
Yeah, you don't have to explain everything. We'll figure it out. But
I'm just
doing
it for the benefit of the listeners.
Thank you. Sorry. Yeah, but this was not. But then the question is, what is the difference between a description and an interpretation?
I don't know
if this is a. I thought it was a rabbit because what we see and what we interpret. It can be lots of different things,
which is a really, really good
which
point.
Is great because also that's why I love labels as well. Mm. When you put words on it, a good label can save a bad sketch. So because if I now label this thing baby bird, people will see a baby bird.
Exactly.
But if I label it sad little rabbit, they will see the sad little rabbit.
Yeah. This is an excellent point from an accessibility point of view, because we're doing audio descriptions of things that we're drawing, and exactly like Evelotta says, that labels are essential if we want to convey more concrete meaning in these things or influence people's understanding of what we've got, which in many of the contexts that we design in, we do need and do have to give our descriptive labels on the thing that we've created and according to the exception.
And in improvisation, we call this additional information that we give, we call this framing, and you can frame a situation and also reframe a situation because by adding a different context, you can completely change what the situation is like, and language is the fastest way of framing something because, it is so powerful with one word. You can evoke so much. So do we have some interaction?
Well, I went against adding a hand because for some reason in my head, I saw a bubble coming out of the water gun, and inside the bubble are some ants.
Okay, good.
Ants.
Wonderful. Oh, so
wonderful.
We have, okay. I will just write it on my piece. So we started with, a random shape. I'll just write it down so we'll have it. Mm-hmm. So first step was a random shape. Then we exchanged the piece of paper. Second was, adding details to make an object or, a thing.
Yeah.
Number three was adding interaction in some way, shape, or form. So we'll go. We'll pass it on. Number three is actually adding context. So adding some kind of background. Where is this thing happening? What is around there? So we can add more information of where this is. All right.
Oh, God, where is... So I've now got Per's Eva Lotta's gun, that pair I did the and bubble to, I've now got that one.
The cool thing is, with context, it can be anything. And you can also, you know, you don't have to make sense. You could also go completely, completely bonkers and like, oh, this looks like a water gun fight. So I'm not going to put it at a garden party, but I'm going to put it, I don't know, at the bus stop. And I put a bus stop there and I see what's happening. So you can you can always go with the logic and try to complete the scene with what you think it would be. But you could also surprise yourself and the viewers.
Okay.
Yeah, and you could also, for your context, you could also add, you know, anything. You could add a background or a person or something that just, you know, gives more information to where this scene is happening. So
to be honest, actually, this feels like one of the harder steps. Because I guess now we're going...
You could also just try by putting something random. You could put a Christmas tree and see what happens. And then, you know, sometimes just by adding something random, your head will figure things out and make sense of it. And it's like, you know, when you add a Christmas tree, it's like, oh, a little child got a water gun as a Christmas present or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. So I've drawn a box around what was Eva Lotta's water gun with Pear's ant bubble, and I've drawn a box around it. And now I'm putting a price on that, and to make it into more of a kind of children's toy in its packaging, is what I'm thinking.
All right.
I'm trying to do. And now I'm doing another line around, which is kind of supposed to be some kind of plastic cellophane or something holding the gun in its actual packaging.
Okay.
And I'm going to give a bit more, some kind of
I have this
line.
Have these ambiguous, I don't know, it looks a little bit like Darth Vader is the father of a little baby bird. I'm not quite sure what's happening on this one, but I'm just adding a nest and a tree to kind of put them a little bit up in the sky and make it a little bit homely where they are. So here we have a lovely tree, like Bob Ross would have said, you know, your little friend, where your little friends live, just put a few leaves.
So the
sorry.
The shape.
I'm channeling Bob Ross.
That started here. That turned into a large person whose waist is being measured by a man in glasses. I decided just to put them on a boat, just completely randomly. And I have no idea what that's going to do with me, but they're now on a boat.
Okay. I'm on a boat. That's a good one,
I'm
anyway.
On a boat.
So they're probably pirates of some sort.
Okay.
And that explains why his clothes are
on someone.
Sorry?
Put a pirate hat on someone.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's well, anyway, we'll go to the next step. That's a good idea, but it's his drawing.
Oh,
so here we are.
Stop giving me recommendations, James.
Oh, and you already did the step. It's okay.
God,
you're
James.
Good. You're foreshadowing. You are basically a prophet. So because step number five is we'll first
swap
exchange.
Yeah.
And now we add language.
Ah, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
do that.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. I'll add more language. So language could be, you could give the thing a title. You could make the figures in it speak. You could put signs up. Anything you want. And you can just adding language to it to kind of give a little bit more information of what is happening in this story.
Yeah. Am I allowed to add anything else but language?
No, at this step, we only add language. Yeah, I know. Now the juices are flowing.
Yeah, the thing is, I was going to add the pirate flag that we talked about, but I'm not allowed to now.
This time, only language.
Okay.
So,
yeah, and it was,
So I already received some language on the, on this packaging. There's already saying that, this is a package of, an ant bubble gun, which is great. And I'm just going to make it a little bit more spectacular, so new. And now it's also even more fun. So I'm adding some excitement with my language to my packaging.
And I've spun off Per's pirate boat thing, and I've added Shiver Me Timbers to the as a speech bubble for the the figure that is holding the measuring tape round the person who is on the boat with the tailor, I guess is that who that is.
And this thing that nobody could quite make out with is—that sort of a helmet with a pointy nose—is in a nest now in a tree with this small little bird slash rabbit that James drew before. But now it is a small bird because it's shouting "mommy" to this larger beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the larger thing answering something? Maybe that would be interesting. Come on.
It's not because it's actually a scarecrow.
I say, yeah, I was just thinking, it actually doesn't look animal.
So it's quite a sad story, really.
Well, if you wanted to make it clearer, you could label this thing a scarecrow if you wanted to.
That's what I was wondering.
Or you could also give it a title and say, but it's only a scarecrow. Or you could leave it open. You know, this is always, this. You can always, it depends. Yeah. How much do you want to shape the story? Mm. How much information do you want to give? Mm. But that's up to you. That mummy thing is already good. So now we added the language, and now comes the last step. We'll just swap
again
once more, okay. One last time.
Yep.
And now is your time when you can add anything that you think is missing from it. Oh. This could be some color. Could be some shading with the lovely shading pen, you know, where you just make things a little bit more three-dimensional.
Oh, wow. The shading just makes it look fantastic.
Yeah. So the thing is, you take the shading pen and you just run it on the bottom right inner edge of any kind of object you have, and it makes the thing three-dimensional.
Was I got the right one? Yeah. Okay, so if I go.
Yeah, because the light comes from the top left, and so you just run it on the bottom right inner edge of everything, and it instantly makes it look more professional.
Oh, yeah, it actually does, yeah. So just a few simple gray lines.
My bubble now looks like a bubble. That's so weird.
Yeah, wow. You give it, shading inside the object makes things more three-dimensional. Yeah. And when you have drop shadows, like the shadow that is cast on the surface that the object is on, then it anchors it in space.
Yeah.
Two different things. I'm going to just make the boat a little bit clearer because it is, it's kind of fading a bit in the background because it's in green, and I'm just going to use my black pen to kind of emphasize the boat, that I can see that we are really on a boat here, because I think it's amazing that this tailor is actually measuring a pretty balloony person. Like, it looks a little bit like a I don't know, maybe that's a Swedish version of the Michelin man. I have no idea. You tell me, you Swedish boys.
I mean, some pirates do have at least quite airy clothes,
yeah,
I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm just finishing the boat a little bit, and I'm also making the water gray, so to put a little bit of contrast in, to kind of see that it's water. It's just, you know, we can add some visual clarity, or also if there's a detail missing and you want to, you know, add your own pun to it or something, you know. I could actually take your idea and put a little pirate flag on the boat. Come on. I'm making a circle, and I'm adding a little rectangle to the bottom. And then into the circle, I'm putting two big black ellipses, a little triangle underneath. And then this becomes a skull. And here is my pirate's flag. I hope this episode is not completely boring. Because everybody just has to imagine. But you know how you can make it not boring is if you draw with us. So you should play this game as well. If you're on your own, you can also play this game just with yourself. You just have to do every round yourself. But you could also try to imagine you have never seen what you just drew and completely reframe each thing with some absurd new information.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So now we have, three... It's actually quite amazing how much we managed to do in these quick five steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have little stories. So here I have got a tailor. I have got a tailor measuring a balloony man on a pirate ship saying shiver and timbers. all right. What did you end up?
I have the water gun and packaging, the ant bubble gun.
Whoa.
It looks really exciting. I would buy it. It's only $3. Creepy crawly, tastic fun.
I want to have it.
I want it.
And I've got the scarecrow thing in the bird's nest with the tiny bird shouting mummy, with his beak raised, wanting food. And you can see the nest, some clouds, and there's the tree. The nest is in the branch of the tree. And I've added there was a little hole in there's a knot in the trunk of the tree, which was a hollowed out hole. And in that, I've added a little kind of, it used to be called chads. I don't know if they still call chads.
Oh yeah, the guy who's with the nose over the wall.
Yeah, yeah. So the fingers and the nose. This kind of thing used to draw on walls and things.
Exactly. You know,
well, at least back when I was.
And I feel like this scarecrow thing. It basically looks like a bird shaped Darth Vader. And I have like I'm your father, but it's not the mummy. Maybe it's I don't know. So you can see there's a lot of.
There's a new speech bubble there. It's like, I'm your father.
No, I'm your father. Exactly. That's because it's missing. So you see, it's like collaborative storytelling with random things that you would never have thought that you end up with.
We would never have thought of anything like this morning.
Yeah, and I wrote that. No, I am your father first, and now I'm doing my circle round.
Please, you learn fast.
And then my little line down to the scarecrow like father of Darth Vader thing.
Okay, I'm just going to finish the steps that we took because I'm going to write them down so you can see it on this piece of paper that you hopefully can look at somewhere on this page. So we had the random shape, then the details to make it an object, then we're adding interaction, then we're adding context, so background, then we're adding language to give more information, speech bubbles, titles, signs, anything, stickers with language on, and six, anything that is missing.
Oh, so we went to six steps in the end, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is kind of a fun little exercise to just have a random game of creating something that you didn't expect.
For collaboration and working with people that you often work with, it's just to see what happens and to acknowledge how much you can do together. Even if you're not feeling up to it, I'm not feeling creative at all today, but it becomes extremely creative.
And the support, I mean, the thing about not worrying.
Exactly.
And letting, we'll solve this together.
Yeah, it's shared responsibility to make it.
Yeah.
And also you can also see how much influence you can have by contributing something. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be the boss of saying, the concept is that we're going to draw Darth Vader having a baby bird son or something. But it's by step by step actually creating and designing something and adding something by adding your contribution. Mm. Even if it's small, you can steer things in a direction and make a proposition. And then the next person that picks it up can decide if they want to go along with your proposition or if they want to add something else, which is basically the process of improvisation. And in my opinion, also the design process, because very often we also have to try things out. I have to write mummy there to kind of get the idea of, no, it's not the mummy, it's the father. Mm. I am a person who I am very bad at imagining images in my head. Some people are great when you tell them, close your eyes and imagine a beach. They see the full scene. Mm. I basically see foggy darkness with kind of a, maybe, like a beach at midnight where you can't quite see what's going on. Mm. I have a really bad, I can't imagine images in my head. That's why I have to draw them and I have to draw something. And then it's like, oh, this is what it looks like. Mm. This is not what I want, or this is what I want, or this is missing. Mm. And, I think some people think you have to have a clear picture in your head and then just spit it out through the pen. Mm. That's one way for some people it works, but I think for most people it's a conversation with what you draw. It's a conversation with yourself on a piece of paper, and you make it easier for yourself by just making a fact on the piece of paper. If it's just a squiggle and then you make a next fact of, oh, I'm going to put the beak somewhere. I have no idea where the eyes are going to be or what the bird is doing, but by just putting a beak, you're giving yourself more information to work with. And that's true in design as well. You know, we have to start somewhere. You give yourself some information of, oh, I'm going to place the key visual on my website here. And then I see how I place all the other stuff around and how I arrange things.
Once you place something, the other things will come.
Yeah. Layers and depth. I mean, you said about the use of color at the beginning, that we can use the colored pen to add layers and so on. And that's what we basically have done with. We've added multiple layers of information and iterated our way up to something that's kind of complete, or at least complete for now.
Yeah, and it's a little story. And if you want to do a bonus, there's a bonus thing that you could do with it. We're not going to play it through now because, but if you wanted to go into storytelling, you could take the scene that you just created, take a new piece of paper and actually draw three boxes like a comic strip with three images. You know, you will draw three rectangles across your picture as if you wanted to draw a comic strip. And then you would draw a simplified version of this, of the scene that you just drew into the middle picture. Your scene goes into the middle picture.
Yeah.
And then on the left, you draw what just happened before. And on the right, you draw what happened after. And that basically takes it into a little storytelling exercise, because now you have the middle scene. Usually it's quite dramatic because we try to make it dramatic. Mm. So we need a little intro of what happened before. How did we get to this thing? And then also a resolution, what happened after.
Yeah.
That's a nice little addition to it. We take it towards
a journey instead.
Yeah, this is a snapshot. This is kind of, usually it's a dramatic snapshot because we try to make it funny.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I have this guy measuring the guy on the pirate ship. I could think about what happened before. How did they get onto this ship? Who's this person? You know, it's like, and then also afterwards, what happens afterwards? Does he get a new coat or is he going to throw him into the water or is he going to strangle him? I don't know.
Walk the plank.
Yeah. So exactly. That's another thing how you could extend this exercise.
Absolutely wonderful. I am blown away by what we created in that short period of time.
Yeah. Well, I could also suggest, I told you yesterday, I wanted to do an experiment, which is kind of a little bit out there because I haven't tried it, but it could be fun. So it's basically, because this format, you haven't seen anything what we've been drawing unless there's a page where you could actually see the pictures and you looked at them. Mm. Now we're going to actually use this into a little exercise, and we're actually going to try, one person gets a photo and they are trying to describe the photo just with words, and the other two are going to draw, and you, hopefully listeners, are going to draw as well. So it's a little exercise for the person who's describing, of thinking about what is important in this photo and how do you describe it to make it easy for the people to draw it. Hmm. How much detail do you actually need? And for the people just to trust and draw. Okay.
Yeah.
Who wants to describe?
I can describe.
Okay. I prepared some pictures.
Okay, I was just thinking, where's my photo?
Let me see. I've got, let me see where these pictures are. Okay.
Everlotta now is looking through her phone to find pictures.
Yeah, no, not personal pictures. Okay. I opened some. Okay, good. So this is the picture. Let me just rotate it so you can actually see it. I hope it, I only have it on my phone. I'm really sorry, but I hope it's kind of good enough. Let me just, preview image. No, this. Okay. You can see it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can see that.
I have already seen the picture, but I will imagine not to have seen it. So we'll draw it.
And I have not seen it.
Okay. What shall we draw?
Is there any limitations on the kind of language I can use to describe it?
No, it's no.
No, okay.
Yeah. No obscene language, I would suggest.
Well, okay, yeah, fair enough.
So that will prove difficult, apparently.
No,
I reckon I can cope.
Okay, what shall we draw first?
So it's a shop window.
A shop.
Just a single large pane window. Probably quite a large building, like department store like building.
I want to draw a window, a big shop window.
Yeah, because I can see stonework On the building.
Oh, there's some stonework on the building.
Yeah, to left and right. The building itself is made from rectangular blocks of stone.
Okay,
I'll
put some stones.
Sorry, details that come later that are important before. So they look kind of like, almost like dominoes without the dots that build up the walls either side of this window. And in the window is a poster, a poster that fills the window almost. And it's advertising some perfume. In the very, very center of that poster is Hermes Paris, the words. Well, actually, no, there's more. Yeah, Hermes Paris is what it says.
And it advertises center. A perfume.
Yeah, and there's a little bottle of perfume to the bottom right of the text that's in the very center. So Hermes Paris is centered horizontally and vertically in the middle of the poster.
Okay, all right. I already, it's not quite what I did, but it's mine is good enough. Okay.
And in the background of the poster, so there's a photo is the background to the poster. And well, the main thing I can see is a figure of a person.
In the poster?
Yeah. And they are stretched. So the top of the head is clipped at the very top of the poster. And it's kind of like just, it's above the knee. They're clipped at the bottom of the poster to give you an idea of how much of the poster the person fills.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, you see everything from forehead downwards to
forehead.
So the top of the poster. So the very, very top of the scalp is chopped off.
Yeah.
And anything from halfway down the thigh is then chopped off at the bottom.
But you're seeing the face.
Yeah, and they're looking to it's positioned to the left of the poster, and they're looking to the right. Okay. So if you have done, like you, Per, I can see you've done the Hermes Paris in the middle of the picture, then the torso is exactly behind the hitch.
Okay.
That's a lot of information.
Okay, I'm just drawing. I'm.
And then you're revealing that you can see what I'm drawing. But
I am.
No, you don't give him tips. I'm just, I'm drawing a person from.
But it's interesting to kind of think about speed of which I'm describing, because I'm realizing that I have to describe certain things and I have to backfill. So I have to go back and give you information because I realize that, you probably need to know that because you would have no idea where the positioning is.
Okay.
And I'm doing that because I can kind of see what you're doing.
Yeah, no, you
but I shouldn't look. I'm stopping looking. Okay. As I said, there was a little bit. Okay. You've got them. Okay. Now I'm going to go onwards to outside of this. And now in front of the building, there's some details. And there's a few different details. The significant ones are there's a stepladder. So one of those ones you use for decorating or cleaning things. It's a six step, foldable ladder. It's leaning against the building to the right hand side of the poster or the window, rather.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got that. Yeah. A step ladder to the right on the window with six steps.
On the window.
Yeah, no, it's not leaning against the window. It's leaning against the stonework to the right of the window.
Four, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, okay. And then at the foot of the stepladder, is a bucket.
A what? A bucket.
A bucket.
Okay.
Now I'm guessing it looks like there's some kind of cleaning thing stuck in the bucket.
Like
maybe
products?
I think it's maybe a brush.
A brush.
Maybe. All you can see is the handle of it. It's a yellow handle, and quite long. It's probably about 80 centimeters long, maybe. So it goes up to the third step on the ladder. Little brush that's sticking out of the bucket. Anyway, now I'm going into too much detail. It's a black bucket.
I'm missing a lot, I'm realizing, as I'm hearing you. How many steps? Because you're going ahead. I'm drawing as you're speaking.
Exactly,
And so I realized, he said the person was to the left in the poster, but I drew it in the center.
But then at some point it's good enough.
Yeah. There's actually what looks like a sheet, or a cloth. It's not a cloth. It's too big for a cloth. Mm. It looks like a bit of a bed sheet kind of, also. It's like dumped down by the side of the bucket. I guess it is used for wiping after you've cleaned. So like a window cleaner, for example, a big cloth, but it's no small cloth. It's,
Big cloth,
and it's.
I made a big cloth.
It's to the left of the bucket, if you're interested.
Right, okay.
So this is so interesting.
I'm not interested in the position of the cloth. It's already there. Okay, good.
Okay, we'll give one more detail. And then I think this is the window cleaner. I'm going to call him a window cleaner. It's a man. He's leaning against the stonework to the left of the window. So he's in front of the glass. And he's leaning against the stonework, which is immediately to the left of the window. And he's got a pair of white dungarees on and a black t-shirt. Actually, he's got a head. I just noticed now he's got a headphone in his ear.
Okay.
And his hands in his pockets.
Okay. Man.
Man.
Dungarees.
Dungarees. Why dungarees? Hands in pockets.
Leaning.
Tattoos on his forearms.
Oh, bare arms. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got a t-shirt on underneath. He's, yeah. Okay. He has got more clothes on than just the dungarees. He has got a black t-shirt on. Yeah. And. Yeah, so you can see his forearms. I can see that both forearms.
What was
got
he
tattoos
doing?
On. He's just leaning against the stonework to the left of the window.
What kind of tattoos? Like indistinct?
From here, they're detailed tattoos because they look very much just like tattoo ink on this on the size I can see of the picture.
Okay.
If I zoom in a bit.
No, it's okay. Just
no, I can't tell you much about what they are. And he's gazing off out of the frame. Into the distance.
That's too late.
I know,
what kind of hairstyle does he have?
He doesn't have much of a hairstyle, really.
He's no hair.
No, to be honest, it's a bit like Per. He's got short shaved hair. I think he's talking on the phone to someone. He's probably having a break between moving off from this window onto another window.
Okay.
And you know, I think I've probably run out of things to say.
Okay, good.
Listeners will be shocked.
Okay, I'll just put more stonework in here because now he's leaning in front of my stonework. Okay.
Now, of course, we said that Per has not seen this picture whatsoever. Evelotta has seen the picture.
Yeah.
But hasn't been working from the picture while we've been doing it.
Yeah, sorry, because I chose it. I've seen the picture, but yeah. I have to say, me having seen the picture, I am completely baffled by how you described it because the first thing I would have said is there's a man leaning on a wall.
Exactly. Because,
and he starts with a Hermes Paris poster that is kind of behind glass in the background of the thing. But it's amazing how we...
It's fascinating,
what we see and how we see it. And it's like...
That's what I was thinking as well, because as soon as you said there's a person there,
it's like...
Also, the person is the person I would see, thing I would see first.
Absolutely. But the thing is, what I realized, what I was trying to do, I think, is...
Draw the background first.
Because I can see the disposition of things on the picture. I'm seeing the elements I'm going to have to describe.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me that if I describe one of the detail elements, it's going to dominate your picture because I've started with it. And because the poster in the window is the thing taking up the biggest bit of this picture, I thought, I'm going to start with that because you're probably going to give it the most place on the picture.
Yeah, I mean, there's no...
I'll reveal the picture to Per now.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
I'll show the picture.
There's the cloth.
I'll reveal the picture to Ava.
And now I realize you said headset.
Oh, and he's looking to the left.
But then I heard you say, he's speaking on the phone.
And he has the phone.
Yeah, but it was the headset that made me realize he's probably speaking on the phone.
Pocket. Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, and Per didn't put the hands in the pocket because I said that after you'd drawn the arms.
Right. And it's looking to the side. Also, you said after I started.
Exactly. So the reveal. So you say, Evelotta, you're surprised that I started. I mean, I think I was kind of right to start with the window to give, but you can see later on that by forgetting to say hands in pockets, I should have started with man with hands in pocket.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then how do I second guess what you're going to presume in that little moment of time before I move on
and
to the next detail?
I mean, I don't know what this exercise is about because I just wanted to try it out and see what kind of questions come. And it's is it important? And what is important? You know, is it important where he looks or is his expression important or are the details important? I mean, everybody sees something different in it, but it's just an interesting exercise.
Yeah. I think it's a really, really valid and interesting exercise because you think about the design process. You know, we
like gathering requirements.
Well,
at the very end, the customer says, "You should have looked to the left."
Well, no, it's like you received.
Exactly. Yes.
Damn. Yeah.
Oh, you received a screen or a sketch or a Figma file, but maybe you weren't the one who actually created it.
Yeah.
I didn't take that photo. I've now got to describe this photo to you two, who are my developers, effectively.
It's actually a lovely metaphor, and I haven't thought about it. But by starting to draw things out as you gather requirements, the question comes up because when I asked you, but what is his hairstyle? Or, you know, you could also ask, where is he looking? Because when you start visualizing things, you notice the gaps, because you have to make a decision of where this person looks and what he wears and what he does.
Yes, and fantastic. And we always talk about kind of like, you know, iteration, and it's okay, we'll fix that in the next sprint. But here we can see that because of how we've described, or maybe flaws in how we've described, we've baked in problems that are maybe bigger than they needed to be.
Yeah, and you discover them straight away, because now you look at his picture and you say, no, but he's looking to the left. He should look to the left. Yeah. And it's like, okay, he should look to the left. Oh, there should be a search button, or oh, there should be an autofill or whatever. So,
but a simple adjustment in how I describe something could save us an awful lot of time and even several iterations. Because I've said, well, if I now say it's a man with hands in pockets, wearing dungarees, I can reformulate that. I've kind of conveyed the information better.
And somebody would have to describe it back to you for you to know that they had understood what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't have to put it to the extreme that we do the blind thing, but it's an interesting way to see that actually, I always find it that when I start mapping out stuff with people and visualize it, there are questions coming out so quickly, because by drawing it, you have to make decisions about position, about size, about orientation. Yeah. And without this information, you can't do it. And therefore you have to ask. So it's a really good process to draw out questions, that you might otherwise forget, because language is so flexible and nice and squishy. So, well, thank you for trying out this exercise with me, and I've never done it with anybody, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, thanks for being letting us be your guinea pigs in this one. It was really, really good fun.
I love this.
Yeah. And, well.
Yeah. We will be posting all this, of course, on our show notes.
Yeah, there'll be lots of images in the show notes. Yeah. And thank you a huge amount, Evelotta, for letting us have so much fun now.
Yeah, doing a visual podcast without anybody seeing anything. Exactly. That's a first.
It's amazing. It is. It's amazing. Wow.
That was just so much fun. I've got a smile all over my face from listening back to that workshop thing we did with Evelotta and Pat. I can tell you, I did actually buy some of the magic wand
pens as well.
For filling in the...
Oh, wow, fantastic.
Yeah, because that was just... It was just so mind-blowing how putting little grey borders on stuff just makes it
and
so I'm much better.
And I'm definitely going to be stealing this last exercise for any workshop I'm doing, where people have to describe an image or describe anything really and have other people create an artifact out of that description.
I think all three of the exercises we did during this show can be used in many different ways with people you work with, whether as kind of warm-ups or, you know, onboarding, team building, whatever, they're all very useful.
Definitely.
And recommended listening, of course, it has to be our previous chat with Evelotta.
One of my favorite episodes, obviously.
Yeah, of course. It is. It's really, really valuable episode. It's Evelotta goes through a lot more detail about visual thinking and how it can be useful and what you can do. It's episode 234 of UX Podcast.
Remember to keep moving.
See you on the other side. My friend got some camouflaged roller skates.
Your friend got some camouflaged roller skates?
Yeah. She can hide, but she can't run.
That's just weird.